All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton, and our next guest on the show today is Ray McGovern. He was a CIA analyst for 27 years. He now writes at Consortium News with the heroic investigative journalist Robert Perry. And he's got a piece we're featuring in his archive at antiwar.com today. It's called Petraeus' CIA Fuels Iran Murder Plot. Uh-oh. Welcome back, Ray. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Scott. Thank you.
I really appreciate you joining us today. So, let's see. Of all the alphabet agencies involved in this thing, haven't heard too much about the CIA, but your article points us over to David Ignatius, as you say, his accustomed role as unofficial surrogate CIA spokesman has added some very important details to the story of this supposed Iranian terrorist kidnapping plot, assassination attempt against the Saudi ambassador to the United States.
Yeah, he has. Ignatius can be depended upon to echo the line from the CIA as well as from places like the White House. This time, it's not so much a case of reading between the lines. He lets the cat right out of the bag by saying, hey, folks, we know that initially the White House and Justice Department spokespeople considered this plot, you know, this used car salesman, Mexican drug cartel plot to assassinate the Saudi ambassador, as they put it, not persuasive, okay? But, dun-da-da-da-dun, to the rescue, David Ignatius and David Petraeus. And what did David Petraeus do? Well, he turned the implausible into plausible. What his team did in leaping to the rescue here was to serve up, quote, evidence, end quote, that tends to confirm things, according to Ignatius. Now, this is interesting because before Ignatius's article, I hadn't seen anything really to discuss what role the CIA may have played in all this, quote, information, end quote. But, you know, it served to reason that since this is CIA's province, you know, foreign intelligence collection, that it would be in charge of whatever was collected and would be in a position to comment on whether it seemed plausible or not. Well, here's Ignatius, quote, one big reason that top U.S. officials became convinced that the plot was real is that CIA gathered information corroborating the informant's juicy allegations and showing that the plot had support from the covert action arm of the Iranian government. Well, all right, Ignatius adds that this was intelligence collected in Iran. Well, you know what? That's really depressing, because that shows that the folks working with Petraeus have been able to do a repeat of the prelude to the war in Iraq. Most people will remember that during that period, according to that famous British memorandum in Downing Street, the intelligence and facts were fixed around the policy. Fixed. It was just a little aside here. Fox News immediately demurred and said, oh, well, fixed has a different connotation in British usage. So I called my friend Harry in London. I said, Harry, tell me what fixed means. What do you mean? Ray, have you lost it? No, just tell me. In British usage, what does fixed mean? He says, well, Frey, you fix election, you fix a horse race. What's better? Thank you very much, Harry. Fix is fixed, okay? And that's what they did.
I'd forgotten that part of it, but yeah, that is fun, isn't it?
Yeah, they did that before Iraq. And, you know, this whole business about finding some sort of quasi casus belli here, some ostensible reason to bloody the noses of those terrible Iranians. Well, you remember that before the attack on Iraq, 70% of Americans believed that Saddam Hussein had something to do with 9/11. Mm-hmm. Why? Because of his, quote, ties with Al-Qaeda.
All right, but wait a minute now, because obviously, your point being that the media and the government can lead everybody terribly astray and get us into horrible wars that we shouldn't be in.
No, even worse.
And I'm with that, but I want to stick to the details here a little bit and see if I can get you to help me understand. You know, for example, is it even true that this guy's cousin is in the Quds Force, or that's where the money came from, or that, you know, Gareth Porter has a piece today, and from his analysis, he says maybe these guys were trying to sell some drugs, and then once it got to the FBI informant, that's when it turned into a terrorist thing. It had nothing to do with a kidnapping or anything like that until then, that kind of idea. I wonder what you think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to finish up, the reason I was alluding to all that business was simply that they concocted intelligence to justify a war with Iraq, and now it appears, worst case here, that they're concocting intelligence or terrorist plots to facilitate the Israelis attacking Iran. The plot is that cockamamie one. The best guess, and I've talked to two dozen of my former colleagues, real pros in this business, lawyers as well as operatives and analysts, and the two most trusted ones tell me they see the hand of Israel behind this, that it would very much be in consonance with past Mossad practice to suck this kind of information into the system in America, and that they have willing accomplices in the White House. First and foremost, John Brennan, who, you know, couldn't become head of the CIA because of his support for torture and rendering and black prisons and all that. But, wonder of wonders, was recruited by the Barack Obama people to be a very, very influential deputy national security advisor, chief of counterterrorism in the White House. Mm-hmm. It's not at all beyond the possibility that Brennan, in concert with the Israeli intelligence, is peddling this stuff and not being clear with the president as to how real it is.
Do we have precedent? Other words, you're skeptical that this $100,000, because see, here's the thing, Ray. We've had dozens and dozens, and over the years, we've covered dozens and dozens of completely bogus FBI entrapment, ridiculous Miami 7-style terrorist cases, right?
Sure.
What makes this one seem different, other than they're accusing a state of being behind it, is that they're saying, but this money came from overseas and landed here. And so something about it is real. There's, you know, I don't know what kind of hat, but some sort of hat will hang on something here. And you're saying that you think it's possible then that, or these other CIA guys you're talking to are saying they think it's possible that maybe the other end of this plot, on the other side of the world from here, was actually the Israelis posing as the Iranians?
Well, either that or the Israelis having infiltrated Quds or the Revolutionary Guards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're very enterprising and very imaginative.
Like the DEA and the Zetas cartel.
Sure. And, you know, this transfer of money, it was done in such a way that it had to be detected. I mean, hello. I can't put I can't put $20,000 in the bank without everybody and his brother knowing about it, and Homeland Security, FBI, and everything else. So, you know, the point is that this was done in a way that was bound to be exposed, okay? Mm-hmm. And to provide fodder for those who want to blacken Iran and tell the whole world that, you know, this place not only is developing a nuclear weapon, which it is not, okay, which it is not, but it's also mounting terrorist operations, even here in the good old USA. It's pretty transparent, and what really, really troubles me is that Barack Obama has let himself become personally involved in this thing. You can see him out there, you know, see him at his news conference, a wishy-washy sort of, like a backbone sort of guy. He says, now everything's on the table, but we're working real hard with sanctions, and we're going to pursue this in a political way. Well, you know, he always says, yes, but. And with the people like Brennan and the Israeli people in town here and his sensitivity to trying to be even more pro-Israeli than his Republican possible opponents in the election next year, there's a volatile mix here. The stars seem aligned for Netanyahu to look on all this and say, well, now that I've got the most of the mainstream media showing how bad Iran is to the point of mounting terrorism within the U.S., and I've got people pulling for open war against Iran, maybe this is what I'll do. And you know what? This is what really bothers me. If Netanyahu were to conclude that Barack Obama would have no option but to lockstep, jump in, salute smartly, and engage on behalf of Israel, our armed forces, if he thought that that was the case, you know, he would have substantial reason to believe that to be the case, and he, I'm afraid, would be right. Whether Barack Obama knows this or not, he has very few adult advisors around him. People like Brennan aren't even going to tell him how good this information is. You know, when he told Geithner, for example, hey, look at Citibank, let's see what we did. Geithner didn't do it. So do you think that with that precedent, that big precedent, billions of dollars in public view, that a guy like John Brennan would feel it necessary to share everything he knows about, quote, intelligence, end quote, that originated with Mossad? I don't think so, not judging from Brennan's record. So the president himself may become hostage to this kind of situation, feeling he has no way out other than to seem so pro-Israeli that he will back Israel even if it provokes, and that's how it would start, even if it provokes some sort of Iranian military action by something the Israelis did. So this is very volatile. People have forgotten that it was 8 years, 8 full years, that Iran stopped working on a nuclear weapon. And people have forgotten that it's possible to drum up this kind of furor and start the juggernaut-taught war. And unless we get a new set in the constellation. See, last time we had Admiral Mullen, okay? He's a professional military guy, okay?
Back in 2007.
Yeah, and he knew which end was up. And we had Admiral Fallon, head of CENTCOM, who famously told my friend Pat Lang, look, Pat, there's not going to be a war on my watch. And Pat looked at him and he says, is it okay if I tell people that? And Fallon winked at him. And so Pat told the Washington Post. So Fallon was canned, but Mullen was still around. And when the CIA came out with an honest estimate about the Iranians having stopped working on a nuclear weapon at the end of 2003, guess who went to the White House to talk to the president about it? Mullen. And he said, now, Mr. President, this is Bush at the time, you know, this kind of judgment is bound to leak. So I think maybe you ought to publish the principal judges of this thing. This at a time when Cheney and Bush were beating the drums for war on the premise that Iraq was about to get a nuclear weapon. Now, when Mullen winked at the president knew damn well that, number one, he couldn't fire Mullen because of what Mullen would say, and number two, Mullen or his friends would leak this information sure as hell if the president didn't release the key judgments himself. So in his book, Bush says, so I decided to release the key judgments so that we could put some facts together with these erroneous judgments. Facts. There we go again. Facts to fix the intelligence so it suits their purposes. That time it didn't work. This time it may, because Mullen's not around anymore. I don't know much about his replacement, but certainly he doesn't have the cachet or the strength to repeat the very strong representations that Mullen made. After all, the military know better than anyone else what war is like, and they know that a war with Iran would be, well, as I've said before, would make Iraq look like a volleyball game between Mount St. Ursula and St. Helena's High School.
All right. Well, it's Ray McGovern. He's the co-founder of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, and he writes at consortiumnews.com, the website of the heroic Robert Perry, the great investigative journalist. We run everything he writes at antiwar.com/McGovern. And the latest is called Petraeus's CIA Fuels Iran Murder Plot. And now, I kind of wanted to ask you, Ray, whether you think that maybe the tide has turned a little bit. They've hit us with so many lies, so many really big lies with major consequences behind them for so many years in a row now. It seems like, you know, maybe on this one, they're not quite getting away with it. I'm not, you know, the best surveyor of all cable TV news, but certainly online in, you know, on the websites of major newspapers, are many articles with many quotes of many Iran experts casting major doubt on this story. And it seemed like it made a big splash for a day, but not much longer than that.
Well,
Am I too hopeful?
I would like to be optimistic about that, but you can bet that John Brennan does not select antiwar.com articles for Obama to read at night, okay? Obama's in a bubble. Panetta has described himself in his confirmation hearings as a creature of Congress. Where is Congress on this?
Well, Tel Aviv.
Somebody suggested that they ought to make Israel, you know, the 51st state, but that was rejected by a vociferous Republican majority who said, no, that would only give them two senators. Okay, that's how Congress is. So the constellation in the internet world may be better, and indeed, even the New York Times, not wanting to be impaled on bad information again, could see through this one. But that doesn't really matter a hell of a lot. What really matters is how Obama judges his chances in the next presidential election against people who fall all over themselves to seem 100% in favor of Israel, and even more important, how Netanyahu judges the chances that our president would do anything other than salute smartly and support any kind of armed conflict in that part of the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, earlier I talked with Flint Leverett from the New America Foundation, a former CIA analyst himself and National Security Council guy, et cetera, keeper of the great blog Race for Iran. And his major point was that, you know, the details of the plot that seemed not so believable aside for the moment. In the larger sense, Iran's foreign policy is definitely not to pick a fight like this. That, in fact, they're winning on many fronts. And by winning, that means they're still able to deter us and maintain their independence from us. And they're winning by not doing things like murder Saudis. That would, you know, obviously inflame Saudi opinion against them. They would rather have the people of the Middle East's opinion on their side, if not the governments of the Middle East on their side. And so far it's working for them, especially in Iraq where America finished off Saddam Hussein for them. But it just is absolutely implausible, according to Flint Leverett and his analysis, that they would engage in anything like this that would give America an excuse to escalate the conflict, even the sanctions, even short of military conflict.
Well, Flint Leverett and his spouse, Hillary Mann, know more about Iran have forgotten more about Iran than I'll ever learn. They are the best, okay? And, of course, the obverse of what they've said is if Iran couldn't benefit from this kind of thing, and that's clear, cui bono? Who would benefit from this kind of thing? What country in that part of the world would see advantage in a plummeting of relations between the U.S. and Iran? Well, if people don't know the answer to that, they haven't been paying attention, okay? So what we have here are situations where the worst news that I saw yesterday was that the head of the CIA was helping to fill out this plot, okay? We mentioned that before, but this is very serious because it means that my old colleagues back there are being twisted by Petraeus to say things that they can't possibly believe. Now, that has to do with Iran, but now let's talk about Afghanistan. Today we have an AP report in which Petraeus is quoted as saying, look, when you're doing estimates, you CIA analysts, you have to give greater weight to the opinions of troops in the fight. We've got to put our drafts before the colonels and the generals on the ground in Afghanistan and know what they think, because they won't be so pessimistic. They won't say this is a feckless exercise or a fool's errand. They will say, guess what? They'll say there's, quote, progress, but it's, you know the rest of it, it's tentative and it's reversible. That's what I say, Petraeus says, and that's what we'll say. So what do we have here? We have a new guy as head of the only intelligence agency in our government who has the charter to tell it like it is, okay? To point out, as my colleague did on Iran, that they're not working on a nuclear weapon. Now, how are they going to fare if they say, look, General Petraeus, but with all due respect, now we have taken a consistent line for the last 5 years that Afghanistan is not winnable, that there's been no progress, not even tentative or reversible progress, and we're not going to write anything different. What's going to happen to those analysts, I ask you? You know, Scott, what do you think will happen to them?
Well, they're gone, and all this was obvious the moment that they said they're going to move him over to CIA. His first order of business is going to be to write up a new estimate about what a great job he did with his bogus surge killing people over there with their raids and their drone strikes. That's accomplished nothing other than kill a bunch of people and create a bunch more enemies to fight for longer.
Oh, yeah, we can have a new normal, okay? The new normal is the long war.
Yeah, and losing Petraeus forever.
Petraeus is on record as saying that our grandchildren are going to be fighting the same war. Well, hello, it's great for the defense industries. It's great for people who want to put another star on their lapel. It's terrible for the poor kids we send over there to kill and be killed.
Well, now, Ray, I wonder if you remember or if you noticed back, say, 6 months ago or so, Philip Weiss was supplied an email by a reader that David Petraeus had answered him a question about the surge, but he had accidentally... Or it was about Iran, but he had accidentally attached his conversation with Max Boot at the bottom of the email.
Oh,
Max
yeah,
Boot,
this is key. Yeah,
CFR.
We wrote this up. Bob Perry and I wrote this up. This was authentic emails. We have the texts of them. Why? Because Petraeus is not really all that good at emailing. And when he answered this little kudo that was sent to him by a friend of mine, he said, well, okay, thanks, but we're not making a big deal of this. Now, what's that all about? The big deal was, my friend said, thank you very much for pointing out the essential nature of the Arab-Israeli dispute and the fact that the Israelis will not show any flexibility and endangers our troops. That was in your testimony. We thank you, General Petraeus. So he gets back a little email. Well, thanks very much for the thought, but we're not going to make a big deal of this. And then attached to that email is this long conversation with Max Boot, an arch neoconservative, where Petraeus first says, Max, that testimony that I give, when I talked about how the Israeli obstinance is harming our troops, you know, I didn't say that. That was just in my prepared testimony in the written part. But the blogs are going crazy about this. They're saying that Israel needs to. What do we do? And Max Boot says, "Well, that's all right. I'm writing an article now, which says that you're not anti-Semitic." And Petraeus says, "Well, you know, would it be good to mention that I had Elie Wiesel over to dinner last night, or that I'm going to be appear at a Holocaust museum next week?" And Max Boot says, no, relax, David, we got you covered, nobody's calling you, and just lay low, this will blow over. And you know what Petraeus does? He sends back a little email with a smile face on it, the colon, and you know, one of those close parentheses, you know.
Yeah.
So this guy is a political animal. I'm sure he has his eyes set on 2016, okay? And so he's going to be shaving things in a way that, you know, I've seen some pretty terrible CIA directors, but this guy is off to a terrible start.
Yeah. The reason that anecdote is so important, Ray, is because, you know, obviously on Afghanistan, his first order of business is going to be, as director of CIA, to make his blunders as general in charge look good and all that. You can see his direct interest there. But
sure,
why would Petraeus go along with a war with Iran that so far it seems like the Pentagon has had a consensus that they're against? What is it with him? Oh, it's this political interest of his.
That's right.
To make nice with the Israel lobby, because after all, they're the only ones who really want a war with Iran.
Well, that's right. And he sees his bread buttered on that side. He's been very close to neocon. Max Boot is the worst of the worst, okay?
He's the guy that wrote the case for American Empire back in 2002.
Yeah, so Petraeus sees his interest to be served by cooperating fully with these people, and I'm sure he's getting lots of slaps on the back, lots of kudos for, as David Ignatius put it, who's another neoconservative, for turning the implausible story that we've been exposed to into a plausible story. You know, it boggles the mind. If you're interested in what I consider to be one of the key flaws in this story, I'll repeat this from my friend Ray Close, who was chief of station Saudi Arabia in the 70s. He says, now, suppose you're an Iranian undercover operative, right? And you have instructions to hire a killer to assassinate the Saudi Arabian ambassador. Now, why in hell, why in hell would you consider it necessary to explain to a presumed Mexican, I won't use the expletive, that this murder was planned and would be paid for by a secret organization in Iran? Hello? Whoever concocted this sale, Ray continues, wanted this plot exposed to precipitate a major crisis in relations between Iran and the United States. End of quote. We've got the president himself involved now, as well as Eric Holder and Hillary Clinton. I fear for what might happen here, because the juggernaut is again in motion, and David Petraeus is head of the CIA, and whoever it was that took Mullen's place don't have the cachet or the willingness to put a spoke into the wheels of that juggernaut.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, isn't it, that I haven't heard much of this guy, Ray Close. The name sounds familiar, but from a long time ago. But, you know, Christopher Ketchum wrote an article a couple of years back for Counterpunch that began, scratch a CIA or an American intelligence agent, and they will start telling you about Israeli covert operations inside the United States, you know?
Well,
just under the surface of pretty much all of you guys is a bunch of stories about how their interests and our interests are not the same, as David Petraeus will admit accidentally on occasion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a very, very long history of the Israelis trying to persuade us specifically to go at Iran. All manner of justifications adduced, and all manner of carrots as well as sticks held out by Israeli interests and the Likud lobby in this country. So it's not a surprise that this would be in the works. What is a surprise is that they would choose this kind of phony story as if nobody's awake, that as if the New York Times can be co-opted every single time, no matter how flimsy the evidence. So let's hope that reason will prevail. But Barack Obama is not a courageous person. He sees himself as hemmed in by Netanyahu. He tells Netanyahu, hey, no more settlements, please. Netanyahu puts his right thumb to his nose, wags his fingers. That's what he gets from Netanyahu. When he asks Netanyahu, please don't shoot up the boats that are coming to Gaza with Alice Walker and the New York Times and other people on it, Netanyahu put his right thumb to his nose and wagged his fingers. That's why Obama had to go to the Greeks and say, please, please don't let them leave your ports. Please, I don't have any guarantee that the Israelis won't do what they did the year before and shoot some of my citizens up, and this time it's a U.S. boat, you know? So suffice it to say that Obama is regarded by Netanyahu as somebody who can be used in any way that he wants. And if he decides, despite the advice of his military and his former intelligence people, that it would be a good idea to start some sort of armed fracas by provoking Iran, I think he's probably and sadly right that Obama would consider he had no option but to follow the John Brennans of the world, believe what they tell him, and be in there with both feet, despite what our military and the Israeli military think about the notion of, my God, can you imagine, a war with Iran?
Now, Ray, I wonder if, in your experience and your knowledge of Israeli covert operations inside and against the United States over the years, whether you think it's plausible or even likely that the Israelis are actually the ones who made up this plot in the first place.
I think it's
likely. I'm asking you to speculate, but I'm calling it that.
Yeah, well, you know, on these kinds of things, you have to go on past practice. If there weren't such a very long list of precisely this kind of thing, although usually not so clumsy, it would be pure speculation. But this is speculation based on previous experience. I don't like to make judgments except on empirical things, but previous experience can be pretty empirical, right? So, yeah, I think it's altogether possible that the Israelis either have somebody from Mossad on the sending end of that $100,000, or in some other way they have insinuated themselves into the White House itself with people like John Brennan, eager eager. Now, Brennan, of course, was chief of station in Saudi Arabia for a while. So you can see, you know, what his experience is. And the Saudis have openly called for the overthrow of the Iranian government. So, and Phil Giraldi told me early today that the Saudis have been talking to the Israelis directly about persuading the U.S. to do their bidding and join an attack on Iran. So the constellation is all there. And I'm not sure that Barack Obama has enough adult advisors to warn him about what Admiral Mike Mullen warned, and that is, you know, you attack Iran, they have all manner of ways to retaliate, not least of which is against our troops that remain in Iraq or Afghanistan, or sealing the Strait of Hormuz, denying the world of 30% of their oil and trade.
Hey, the whole fleet at Bahrain?
Yeah, or you know, real terrorism, like not concocted terrorism. It would probably help, probably occur more in Europe or other U.S. establishments abroad. But, you know, the Iranians are not Iraq, and I'm not sure that anybody is telling Barack Obama that. And, you know, I find that to be so, so stupid, because Obama should be smart enough to realize that he shouldn't have gone with all these inherited folks that have such a record on torture, on human rights violations, on prisons and kidnapping.
Well, you know, Ray, it could
be
that he personally is that bad on all of these issues.
Yeah, you know, McGovern has come a long way in the last 3 years, and I'm not there yet, but, you know, that's an alternative explanation, and very, very well may be true. It does seem that he's bought this trickle-down economic theory. Otherwise, you know, he couldn't possibly be saying the things he's saying. So maybe you're right. Maybe
it wasn't internet donations. It was Goldman Sachs that bankrolled that last campaign. And this one, too. He ain't going to raise $1 billion from nowhere. He's going to get it from the Treasury, actually, by way of the military-industrial complex and the banks, just like last time.
Well, the good news. The good news is what's happening in New York, where I'm going in 15 minutes down to Freedom Plaza in Washington. Hundreds of us there now. On the weekend, we'll have thousands again. And, you know, the people united will not be defeated. We are the 99%, and that will count for something. This is new, and this is very hopeful.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll be spreading
the message.
That's what
I've been counting on this whole time is, you know, the best of the left and the best of the right and the libertarians all coming together to form a new realignment, a new consensus against imperialism, against corporate welfare and bailouts for billionaires, and against this assault on our Bill of Rights. What could be more red, white, and blue than all of these things? And as the crisis gets worse overseas and as the economic crisis gets worse here at home, we see the old categories are just falling apart. You know, people are starting to really realize who's on whose side for a change in a more accurate way, I would say.
I hope you're right. I see the same thing. I have trouble making sure that I'm not just being optimistic. But this is new, and it needs to be encouraged. All your listeners, if you're anywhere near Washington, come to Freedom Square. If you're other places, go to the local places, San Francisco, Los Angeles. They all have people that are doing these things these days, and that's the way we're going to make an impact.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time and for your writing and all your activism and everything, Ray. I really appreciate it.
You're most welcome, Scott.
Everybody, that's Ray McGovern. For 27 years, he was a CIA analyst. He's a co-founder of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, and he writes at consortiumnews.com, the website of the great Robert Perry. You can also find his archive at antiwar.com/McGovern.